Monday, May 15th. President had a pretty busy schedule today, but had me in first thing in the morning. He had written a lot of memos over the weekend, wanted to do some follow-up and discussion on trip plans. He's concerned about operational confusion around him with too many aides and Secret Service and so on, wants some changes there also. Wants to cut way down on the people on the president's plane, etc. I warned him about the probable small reception in Poland, and he wants to get Radio Free Europe cranking to build that up. He's agreed to have the, or he decided to have the leaders at breakfast Friday morning, and then change that back later in the day to an afternoon briefing. Wants to get moving on the congressional attack on the war again, thinks we have to have a tougher speech on the floor. First to say that an American president for the first time is going to Moscow and they must not undercut him before he goes. And second, that the responsibility for prolonging the war goes to those who give the enemy encouragement and incentive on the grounds that they'll get a better deal from a new administration. In the process, they're undercutting the most generous peace offer we've made. We need to lay the record on these points. He also wants Colson to get Hobe Lewis to have Alan Drury write a book on Vietnam in the press as the blackest page in American journalism. Not just the writing press, but also TV. Hit him on Tet, Cambodia, Haiphong, etc., and how disloyal they are to the country and are always on the side of the enemy. Connally announcement is going to go ahead for tomorrow. Told me to talk to Mitchell tomorrow morning. No, to talk to Mitchell today about the announcement tomorrow morning, and especially cover within the political arrangements. I did that before our regular political meeting today, and Mitchell seemed to be pretty startled by the whole thing, and I think distrust Connally's motivation, as I'm sure many people will. I think John felt this was some sort of maneuver on Connally's part to set himself up, but he doesn't exactly have a feeling as to what and how. Later in the morning, the president got into a discussion of personnel ideas for the second term. He wants to be sure the head of GSA is a total partisan. He wants to be sure we get rid of Hartzog at the Park Service. He wants to start looking now for a new head of the CIA. He wants to go for young, selfless people, no Eastern establishment types, and nobody that we have to beg to take the job. He wants to be sure we get the list of appointees or carryovers and do something about that. Rogers called me all upset because he just found out he wasn't going to Poland and he wanted to appeal it to the president. He feels the symbolism's important, that the plans were all made, that he could meet with the foreign minister while the president's doing his sightseeing and all. That'll cause real trouble for him if he doesn't go and wants the president to reconsider. I raised it later with the president and he course agreed we had to take him, although he was extremely distressed with Rogers for raising it. He obviously shouldn't be there, and it's a pretty petty point, which lost him even more ground than he's already lost. The president was concerned because Kissinger was all gloomy about the magazines today. It turns out it's, as usual, a totally personal thing where there were a couple minor digs at him, and that's what's got him all upset. Overall, the reports were reasonably good, considering how much we've done. Then this afternoon, we got the report that George Wallace was shot. I waited a while to try and get some information. Finally went in at a little after 5, interrupted the president's meeting with Don Kendall and had him come into the little office. I informed the president that we had the report that he had been shot. President looked very annoyed at being told this, really, and said, is he killed? And I said, no. And he said, gave him a brief description of what at that time appeared to be the injuries. And he said, okay, and went back into the meeting. As the afternoon wore on, though, the thing built up steam. He asked to have Connally over, and we discussed what he ought to do. It was agreed that that he should put out a statement, which we did, that he should put Secret Service protection on Teddy Kennedy and Shirley Chisholm, which he told Connally to do, and that he should go ahead and appear at the Blue Room dedication ceremonies, although he should not stay for the receiving line. He did this, and it worked out extremely well because it gave him a chance to make a statement on television about Wallace without having to set up a special occasion to do it. He hauled me over to the EOB and then called Colson in a little later, had us have dinner with him there, and spent quite a little time going over trying to get reports on what actually had happened. He was very distressed with the FBI and the Secret Service for not being on top of things and knowing what was going on. We moved Ehrlichman in, and he told Felt, who was acting director of the FBI, that he was holding the Bureau responsible for the safety of the prisoner they'd captured. And we pushed Kleindienst, Pat Gray, and all the rest of them on a basis of trying to make sure that they understood that the question here was not all the legalities or specifics. It was one of trying to get the right posture set before the press immediately leaped on exactly the wrong thing and started making a big point of how the guy was a right-wing radical and that sort of thing. We got pretty good control of it finally and left at 8:15 to go to a Motion Picture Association movie. Ehrlichman and I came back to the White House at about 11. We're there until 12, getting updated and filling the president in on Wallace's condition and the status of the FBI interrogation. Then we gave him a report about midnight and went on home. During the evening, he called Connally to discuss some point with him and then got Nellie on the phone and told her how great she's been and how much he's appreciated having her in Washington and all that sort of thing. The battle between the FBI and Secret Service got going right at the beginning with jurisdictional disputes and then with each blaming the other for any of the mistakes that have been made. So we're back to the same old thing in that area. End of May 15th.